You're listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska, K201DA in King Cove, Alaska.
The last album from Japanese Breakfast, Jubilee, was all about joy. Bright, happy, sunshine, yellow, joy. Their new album, For Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women, is, as you might guess from the title, a little darker. Coming up, Japanese Breakfast frontwoman and songwriter Michelle Zauner will talk about wanting to explore a different set of emotions this time around.
A lot of what the record is about is, you know, every choice you make robbing you from another experience and the kind of melancholy that elicits.
You'll hear the band perform songs from the new record, and we talk about Michelle's year living in South Korea in between writing and releasing this album. She moved there to learn the language, and it changed her relationship with the country her mother came from and that she was born in.
There were parts of the culture that I found to be really stifling when I was younger, just certain formality and etiquette that I actually developed a great reverence for as an adult.
Japanese Breakfast today. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe. First, it's Pet Shop Boys. It's a sin. This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. Michelle Zauner is the frontwoman and songwriter for Japanese Breakfast. In 2021, she rocketed to fame with the band's album Jubilee and Zauner's own best-selling memoir, Crying in H Mart. Now Japanese Breakfast is back, and today Michelle Zauner joins me to talk about their fourth album for Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women, and shares how touring an album full of melancholy has made her happier than she's been in a while. She also reflects on the year she spent living in South Korea in between recording and releasing this record, and how that trip is the inspiration for her next book. Plus, Japanese Breakfast performs songs from the new album live, beginning with Honey Water. It's Japanese Breakfast on World Cafe.
To be faithful.
Live for the World Cafe, Japanese Breakfast with Honey Water. That's a song from their new album for melancholy brunettes and sad women. I'm Raina Duris, joined by Michelle Zahner of Japanese Breakfast. Welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
A lot of people have talked about the shift in the mood between this album and your last one, Jubilee. But there's also a shift in the way you're writing and what you're writing about and the perspective that you're writing from. Could you tell us about the character or the narrator in the song that we just heard in Honey Water?
Sure. That narrator to me is a woman who is sort of trapped in an unfaithful marriage, and her way of kind of a quiet revenge is to sort of emotionally remove herself from that partnership. And I think that's something I've observed in women in sort of toxic relationships before, and I kind of liked the... That song always reminds me of Carrie, the scene where the prom is in flames, because the sort of sonic landscape around her is so chaotic, but the vocal is so kind of eerily dry. It's kind of terrifying how calm it is. And yeah, I just really enjoyed that dynamic.
When you start making a record, do you think about it as world building?
Yeah, I do. I think that's my favorite part of making a record, is discovering that. I think that once you have three or four songs, you start to sort of see the connections. And it's kind of therapeutic what it reveals about you, where you are mentally and in your life. And I think from there, building out that world and sort of trying to indicate that to people is really exciting for me. When I set out to make this record, I knew it was going to be a guitar album, because that was something I really missed in Jubilee. I was really working as like a singer and a front person, and I didn't have the chance to be behind a guitar, and I really missed it. So I knew that this was going to be a guitar record. I knew it was going to be a darker record, and initially wanted it to be like a harder, creepier album. And so those songs, Honey Water and Mega Circuit, I think really came from that place. But then I had a really hard time writing at that intensity. And I think just where I was at in my life, I needed to make it a more melancholic, contemplative, eerie kind of album. And that's sort of where that world developed.
How do you get yourself into the right headspace to write like that?
I think part of it is just already being in that headspace. A lot of these songs are about a reflection of time and life decision making and where that brings you, and regret and missteps and succumbing to some kind of temptation in your life and ruining the consequences. And some of that is finding that that is where you're at, and then leaning into that theme and curating your artistic intake, either in the books that you're reading or the art you're consuming or the films that you're watching, to kind of develop that tone and mental headspace.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your artistic intake a little bit. What kinds of books were you reading at the time?
Yeah, I was reading, because I knew I wanted a darker album, I was reading a lot of gothic fiction. And so I was reading Jane Eyre and Wuthering Heights and Frankenstein. A big influence was, weirdly, this book of short stories called The World of Apples by John Cheever, and that's where the title of the album comes from. People think that's like a weird, girly internet reference, but it's actually from this old man's book. The Magic Mountain by Thomas Mann was also really influential to me, and that's the last track on the album. And yeah, I loved that book so much. I was touring in Switzerland. It's my husband's favorite book, and it's quite long. And it's about a man who goes to visit his cousin at a sanatorium in Switzerland, which is where people would go to convalesce and enjoy the fresh air, and ends up staying for 7 years. And it's kind of confusing whether he's going there to heal or if this place and their weird practices are actually just making him sicker. Mm-hmm. Originally, I just wanted to summarize that book kind of like Kate Bush does with Wuthering Heights. And when I went to record that song, the engineer, Joseph Lorge, was like, you know that Blonde Redhead has a song where they just summarize the Magic Mountain. So obviously the lyrics were very similar and I had to change it, and it became a very personal song. I think about touring, you know, because so much of what you sign up for is almost like entering a sanatorium. You're kind of removed from the world. I think that I was kind of struggling with that on the Jubilee cycle, because I actually had two young people in my life that I was close to pass away. I missed so many weddings and, you know, big life moments, and missed out on my friends' lives. And it was almost like we were somewhere else, you know, and it's this amazing, mystical place to be on tour and traveling the world. But what you negotiate with that is also kind of troubling at times, sure. You know. And I think a lot of what the record is about is, you know, every choice you make robbing you from another experience, and the kind of melancholy that that elicits.
Yeah. I'm going to play a clip of Magic Mountain.
Oh, great.
People can hear it. This is Japanese Breakfast, Magic Mountain. A bit of Magic Mountain from Japanese Breakfast. It's the closing track on their new album for Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women. I'm speaking with Michelle Zauner today on World Cafe. We were talking about your artistic intake, the books, the gothic literature you're reading, sort of romantic literature. Also, there was a lot of visual art that I know inspired this. Do you mood board things out as your...
Tremendous mood boarder.
What would I see if I looked at that mood board?
In terms of paintings, I visited the Prado also on that same European run. I was in Madrid for the first time, and it's a beautiful museum. And I went to go see the Goya black paintings, thinking that that was where that creepy mood board was really going to develop. And those were amazing, but I was also really struck by these two paintings by Ribera that are based on the Four Furies, mm-hmm. which are these kind of tales of men... doing naughty things and being punished by the gods in really messed up ways. And yeah, they're these huge, really dark paintings. And I think that must have kind of nestled itself into my subconscious. And I was really moved by those paintings.
Yeah. They're super intense paintings.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I can see how that would, like, I don't know, stick with you.
Yeah.
The first time you see them. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about men behaving badly right now.
Yeah, yeah.
My original question was, men, what's wrong with them? we'll talk a little more about men behaving badly. We spoke about Honey Water and how the narrator was a woman enduring her lover's infidelity. We're going to hear you play Mega Circuit next. And it mentions incels. It mentions young boys so pissed off and jaded, carrying dull prayers of old men, claiming holier truths. Well, maybe first you could talk about that line.
Sure. I think I was reflecting on how it seems we've politically and emotionally isolated a lot of young men who seek comfort in an ideology that accepts them as they are, and how I think many young men are feeling pushed into those arms, and how we could maybe rethink the way that we confront that generation. I think it's probably a very difficult group to have empathy for. It's certainly hard for me, but I also think that it's really essential for political progress. And yeah, I took it to a sort of weird place of someone who kind of physically wants to save this sort of generation.
Yeah, there's like an empathy in this song, even though it can sound like some of the lyrics are pretty sharp, but there's an empathy, it feels like, to it.
Yeah, I'm sort of interested in where like young boyhood twists into something violent.
Yeah.
And Yeah, I saw somewhere someone referring to it as my incel diss track, which I think is pretty unfair. And that's by no means what it is. It's about really longing to kind of bridge that gap and kind of understand that side and where it comes from and how to solve that relationship.
Well, let's listen to the performance and we'll come back and we'll talk some more. Live for the World Cafe, Mega Circuit from Japanese Breakfast. Circuit, performed live by Japanese Breakfast. It's from their new album, the first the band has ever recorded in a real studio. Coming up, Japanese Breakfast's Michelle Zauner talks about how that changed things and about the song she wrote for this album that was inspired by Kenny Rogers. That's when we continue in a moment here on World Cafe. Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Michelle Zauner and her band Japanese Breakfast. They have a new album called For Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women. This was the first album you've recorded in a real studio. You were at Sound City in LA. How did being in a real professional studio change your process?
I think probably the biggest change was that I think that I let things be sparser than if I was recording it in a different environment.
That's interesting because it's such a lush record.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, but there's parts of it that I think are more bare than anything that I've done before. And I think this record lets itself sort of breathe and be subtle in ways that I find really interesting and different for me. And part of that is the environment, and part of that is Blake Mills' production. Yeah. I really let him sort of take the helm way more than I have with anyone else I've ever worked with. And I think it made a really interesting, different sound for me.
I'm speaking with Michelle Zauner of Japanese Breakfast. New album is called For Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women. It's not only the first Japanese Breakfast album recorded in a studio, also the first time a Japanese Breakfast album has featured a guest vocalist. We're going to hear you perform the song Men in Bars next. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the album version, which features Jeff Bridges. Here's a bit of that track from the album.
Got back in the rain, I took a spill. It's been a while just tumbling down. Found my head again and took to a new town. Remember the day I picked you up, flipped on my torch, you hit it well. Humiliation tactics you become known for, you said.
So that's a bit of Men in Bars, Japanese Breakfast, featuring Jeff Bridges. I'll admit that I did do a double take. When I looked down, I was like, who's this? And I looked at the file and I was like, oh my God, is Jeff Bridges? Really? The Jeff Bridges? And yes, it is. How did that come together?
So I wrote the song a long time ago and knew that I wanted it to be a duet between a man and a woman. And I was inspired by the Kenny Rogers song, Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town, which is about a vet who has lost his legs and is begging his lady to not leave him at home and go out on the town. And I liked the idea of a couple who's reflecting on their relationship, you know, same moments from different perspectives. The girl feels sort of stifled by their relationship in some ways and goes out on the town and sort of maybe makes some mistakes with men in bars and is confessing to him. And his response is to go to the bars and take up arms against these men. And so I think that I wish there were more duets in general. I think they're fun and, you know, really wanted to play into these different perspectives. And so on tour, we really reworked it to be almost kind of like a country-ish sort of murder ballad. And Craig has such a beautiful voice and sang the lead. But I knew it was he would forgive me if I got some sort of interesting cameo feature. And Blake and I spent maybe a whole month lobbing names back and forth of who we thought had this kind of gruff, rugged, you know, working class man kind of voice. And weirdly, the only person we could agree on was Jeff Bridges. And he had worked on his record with him. I mean, he's a musician and he made this, his beautiful voice and made a great album. He played me a song off of there and I loved it. And I was like, if you can convince him, that's our guy. And we texted him, he video called us, he was down. He's just a music lover, very down to earth guy. And that's how we got Jeff Bridges on the record. That's how we got the dude.
We'll hear your performance in a second. Just before we hear it, the Kenny Rogers influence.
Yeah.
When we're talking about all the other things that influenced you on this album, Kenny Rogers feels slightly out of left field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That song, a friend of mine put on a compilation disc of country music from like 1930 to modern day. There was one song for every year. And my husband and I took a trip to Nashville like 11 years ago, and we drove all night from Philly after our shift at a Mexican fusion restaurant in Old City to Nashville listening to this album, and that one really stuck out to us. And yeah, I don't know. This weirdly is like kind of a record for my husband, I think. I mean, this is his favorite record that I've made, and I think there are a lot of influences that come from him, and it's very much a guitar record, so he's very happy to be playing it. And yeah, that's how that made its way in there, I think.
We're going to hear you guys and the band play with Craig Hendricks performing the Jeff Bridges part. This is Men in Bars. It's Japanese Breakfast, live for World Cafe. Recorded live for the World Cafe, that was Men in Bars from Japanese Breakfast. That song is on their new album For Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women. I'm Raina Duras, here with Michelle Zahner of Japanese Breakfast. In between recording and releasing this album, you spent a year in South Korea. You got back here to the States, I think, just in January. That is where your mother and her family are from. You'd visited before, but talk about that decision to go and stay.
Sure. Yeah, I was born in Seoul, and I went there every other summer with my mom to visit her family for 6 weeks at a time. So it's always been a country that has felt like a second home to me. And I think that became a little bit, my relationship to that country has changed a lot over the last 10 years after my mother passed away. And also as the band has started to go there to play shows, and I've gotten to spend more time there as an adult, sort of discovering what my relationship is as to it without being tethered to it by my mom. And yeah, I think after 3 years of touring really hard for Jubilee, I really needed some time off to do something else and live a life. And my publisher was interested in a second book, and the first thing that came to mind as something I want to do before I die is to live abroad for the year and study the language, because it was something I just was really uninterested in as a child, even though I went to language school. And Yeah, my mom always said if you spend a year there, I think you would wind up fluent. And so I was really curious too about if I dedicate my whole life to one thing for a year, what does that feel like? What does it look like? What can you accomplish? Because so much of what you do in this role, you know, you do interviews, you shoot music videos, you play live shows, you do recording, you have to practice. There's so many things that you're juggling all the time that I just love the idea of just doing one thing mm-hmm. for a year, something really humble and quiet. And I had the time of my life. It was such a special year.
What did it feel like to do one thing for an entire year?
It was so delightful. I mean, to be a student again in your 30s is really special. And yeah, I think it's also just, you know, the pressure is so, it's so nice to just get sick and be like, I can just stay at home and it's not a big deal and it doesn't impact anyone except for me. So that's something that's really hard when you're a touring musician, is that you're so unhealthily obsessed with yourself. And I just love the idea of just living a quieter life for a year. And it was so important for me. I like healed my gut microbiome and my skin and my mental health in a huge way. And I just had such a beautiful time.
I remember in your book, in Crying in H Mart, you talked about feeling like an outsider when you'd visited with your family when you were younger. Did that change at all over the course of a year?
Yeah, definitely. I think I also, my relationship to that country changed so much. I think that there were parts of the culture that I found to be really stifling when I was younger, just certain formality and etiquette that I actually developed a great reverence for as an adult. I think it's really different too, getting to return to your birth country or your mother's country as a successful woman. I think that changed my relationship to things that I had a little bit of an inferiority complex about that I no longer do. I kind of understand my space of belonging in that.
It must have been kind of surreal the first time you ever played a show there,
yeah,
in a place you'd
wild.
Only really visited as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of joining the sort of music community there too was finding my relationship to that country on my terms, you know, mm-hmm. because my mom would have never taken me to Hongdae, or she would have never, you know, we never would have seen indie bands or known anything about it. And I never really had close Korean friends growing up. I grew up in a very, in a city with very little diversity. And so it was nice to suddenly have all these friends with similar interests that had similar upbringings as me. It was special in ways I didn't even know I had been missing.
You completely immersed yourself in the culture. I thought it might be fun if you could tell us about a Korean musician or artist or a song that you fell in love with, and we could play a little bit of it.
Yeah, one of the artists that I really loved, her name is Lee Sang-eun. It's LeeSangeun. And she has a song called Secret Garden that I just loved. I mean, she's kind of, I think it's like a 90s indie artist. I really fell in love with that song. We did a cover of it while we were over there, and
very cool. Well, let's play a little bit of Secret Garden by Lee Sang-eun right now on World Cafe. 리 성윤 with Secret Garden on World Cafe, a song chosen by my guest today, Michelle Zahner of Japanese Breakfast. Japanese Breakfast has a new album called For Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women. You've talked about how when you release an album, take Jubilee for example, you're living inside that mood and that album for the entire cycle. You've had time now to do interviews, play shows. What is it like living inside this album cycle for this new album, especially having recorded it and then gone to Korea for a year?
Yeah, you know, that has strangely become kind of the norm for me over the past 7 years, because Jubilee also was supposed to come out a year earlier, but was postponed because of the pandemic. So I've gotten kind of used to sitting on an album for a year, and it kind of makes sense for me now. It's kind of ironic, you know, I was kind of miserable on the Jubilee tour on this very joyous record because it was just such a grind. And this record, I feel so at peace and so comfortable and just really happy. I feel very, very happy on this tour, and I really love these songs, and I think we have made a really special show. So I'm funny enough on the melancholic record, maybe the happiest I've been.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you guys are having fun, and it sounds like you guys are having fun watching you perform this. And now I'm going to take an extremely hard turn to talk about the last song.
Yeah.
Because there are two lyrics in the song Picture Window that really struck me.
Yeah.
There are two questions that you ask in this song. Are you not afraid of every waking minute that your life could pass you by? And then later, do you not conceive of my death at every minute while your life just passes you by?
Yeah.
Who are you asking these questions to?
Oh, our guitar player, Peter Bradley. That song I wrote about my husband and I's dynamic. I think many people can relate. There's usually someone in the relationship, hopefully only one person in the relationship, that's incredibly anxious, and one person who experiences little to no anxiety at all. And that song is about every time he is running late on an errand, I just assume he's dead. Or if he's standing on a balcony, all I can see is him falling off, or, you know, crossing the street, it's, you know, he's going to get hit by a car at any moment. And I've been like that, to be honest, since I was a young child. I wrote about it in my book, too, imagining my parents dying all the time, or really violent things happening to me or the people that I loved. And that is just a thought that does not cross my husband's mind, which is great, because it would be a disaster if both of us felt that way. But that song is kind of exploring that dynamic of just, like, how do you fall asleep so easily? Like, how are you just chill all the time? And then the chorus is, you know, but all of my ghosts are real. And I think that is kind of like a justification of maybe where some of those feelings come from. You know, I lost my mom at a pretty early age. I lost my aunt before that, you know, to the same illness. I, you know, very likely will have that illness, you know, in the future. I have very real ghosts that I live with. And I think a lot of that anxiety comes from that place of being so near to death and trying to explain where those feelings come from. And I think, you know, a lot of my personality changed after my mom passed away. I became, I think, a bit of a workaholic, and I became so fixated on how finite a time that I have, especially because both my mom and my aunt died, you know, in their 50s.
Right.
So I think a lot about that sort of genetic disposition to this illness and my limited amount of time in this world, and what do I want to say, and what do I want to accomplish, and what art do I want to make before that happens. And so I'm so obsessed with kind of overworking myself sometimes, because I'm so afraid, you know, if someone is running late 5 minutes, I'm thinking about that, those minutes, like, shaved off of my life and the things that I could be doing. So yeah, I'm just an incredibly high-strung person, basically.
Well, here it is, performed live for the World Cafe. It is Japanese Breakfast with Picture Window.
Lost him, and we're certain they'll be coming.
Japanese Breakfast performing Picture Window from their new album for Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women. I've been talking to Michelle Zauner of Japanese Breakfast today. Michelle, thank you so much. It's been great.
Thank you so much, Raina.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard a performance and interview from Japanese Breakfast. And if hearing that wasn't enough, you can also see it on worldcafe.org and on the World Cafe YouTube. Go to youtube.com/worldcafe and subscribe, watch, leave a comment, tell us what you think, tell me how much you love me, whatever you like. Here's Cold War Kids, Hang Me Up to Dry on World Cafe.
Around in the muck and the mire. wintergreen, the juniper, the cornflower, and the chicory. Well, all of the words you said to me are still vibrating in my head. The elmy ash and the linden tree, the dark and deep enchanted sea, the trembling moon and the stars unfurled. Oh, there she goes, my beautiful world.
There she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes again.
John Wilmot penned his poetry riddled with a path, and Nabokov wrote on index cards a lectern in his socks. St. John of the Cross, he did a his best stuff and present in a box. And Johnny Fungus was half alive when he wrote Chinese rhymes. Oh, me, I'm lying here, nothing in my ears. Me, I'm lying here with nothing in my ears. Me, I'm lying here for what seems years. Somebody on my bed with nothing in my head. Send that stuff on down to me. Send that stuff on down to me. Send that stuff on down to me. Send that stuff on down. There she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes. Marx squeezed his carbuncles while riding Das Kapital. And Gauguin, he bugged it off, man, and he went all tropical. And Philip Larkin, he stuck it out in that library in her. And Dylan Thomas, he died drunk in St. Vincent's Hospital. Your feet, I'll be at your door. I'll rock you to sleep. I'll roll on the floor. Well, I will ask for nothing, nothing in this life. But I will ask for nothing. Give me everlasting life. Just wanna move the world. I just wanna move the world. I just wanna rule the world. I just wanna turn the world. There she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes, my beautiful world. If you got a trumpet, get on your feet, brother, and blow it. And if you got a field that don't yield, well, get up now and hoe it. Ah, look at you, yeah, look at me, and deep in our hearts, babe, we're knowing that you weren't much of a muse, but then I weren't much of a poet. I'll give you grades up on your pedestal with your Aryan aids, your book of ideals, your alchemy. Oh, come on, send that stuff on down to me. 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 Well, send it down to me. Send it all around. Send it all around the world. Send it, send it. Here she comes, my beautiful girl. There she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes, there she goes, there she goes, there she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes, my beautiful world.
Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting is generously supported by the City of Sandpoint. Sandpoint is a first-class city in the Aleutians East Borough, located on Humboldt Harbor on the northwestern Popoff Island. Anchorage is 575 nautical miles to the northeast. The Sandpoint City Council meets the second Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. in the City Hall Council Chambers. Contact the City of Sandpoint by calling 907-383-2696, emailing sptcity@arctic.net, or visiting their website at sandpointak.com.